talking about midos. Okay, and we said from the altar from Kelum that midos is valuable because they are measured. Midah is not a natural tendency of a person. Midah is a character trait that's been worked out that you use in measure, that you use appropriately when it's done. And midos is one of the fundamental parts of Yiddishkeit. So the source, by the way, of having good midos, what's the mitzvah of having good midos? Is v'halachta b'drachav. He's supposed to be similar to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that even though there's no specific mitzvah in the Torah out of the 613 that says to have good midos, but there's many chazals that prove from Psukim in the Chumash that you have to have good midos. So for example, the Gemara in Soita, Azhara Legase HaRuach, how do you know that there's a lav for being a balgaiva? D'ksiv, v'rom levavecha v'shachachta. You may become a balgaiva and forget. D'ksiv, yisham locha pentish kachas yisham lokecha. So being a balgaiva is a lav. Don't be a what's chanif? How do they translate here? Flattery. V'sanhedrin. Don't be machzik b'machloikis. If you have a machloikis, you'll be over in a lav because it says loy tiyek koyach v'cha'adosoy. So that's a lav to have machloikis. By the way, what does it mean that you're not allowed to have machloikis? You're not allowed to be b'machloikis. What does that mean? It means that everyone that you have to agree to everyone, you have to be everyone's best friend. This guy did something to me and I'm upset. You're not allowed to be in a machlekas with someone. You have to agree to everyone. You have to be mevater on everything. All your tainas, you have to be mevater on them. That's a big milo to do vitor. Now he's saying if you're in a machlekas, it's a lav. So it's a pella. So I asked someone one time, Rabbi Elavine, so he told me that what it means is, no, you don't have to agree. But if you're creating an artificial barrier between you and the other person, that's a machlokes. So you could still hold that he owes you the money. I'm not moichel on that. Or I bet some hold you did something wrong to me. I'm not moichel that. However, just because you owe me money doesn't mean that when I make a wedding, I shouldn't invite you to the wedding. If beforehand I used to invite you to the wedding, so now I also have to invite you to the wedding. What's the difference? The fact that I think you did something wrong, just like if I think you did something wrong to him. Okay, so you did something wrong to him, but you have to divorce that from your emotion connection to the person. And being machzik b'machloikas means that you are making the machloike, you're taking your taina and you're creating an artificial barrier between you and the other person in some way or the other. Okay, further, there's a lav of lashon hara. There's a mitzvah of tznius. So all these are midos that are brought down, that there's a source in the Torah for them. V'amru, call him Misgai, it's page 261. Call him Misgai, Reo ki Koifer Be'ikr. A Balgaiva could be like a Koifer Be'ikr.
Okay.
So he goes on to say all these things. But then he brings in like this. He says, Hine Matsinu Ba'ar, Matsinu Ba'ar Ba'ed Yoitois. There are four people, Sh'omru Chazal. The Chazal said on them that they have no Chelek Le'ilam Abba. That's pretty serious. Because we start off the whole parak, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Everyone has a Chelek L'Olam Haba, but there are four people that don't have a Chelek L'Olam Haba. Who are they? Bilam, Doyeg, Achitofel, and Gehazi. And Reb Chaim here very beautifully proves that every single one of these people lost their Olam Haba because of their Midos, not because of their Averos. That's what he proves. He says, Bilam. Why is Bilam worse than Balak? Balak hired Bilam. Balak is even worse. Balak went ahead and tried to figure out how he could kill the Jewish people. He hired Bilam, and Bilam, you know, was doing his hired work. Why is Bilam worse than Balak? Why does Bilam have no share to the world to come, and Balak does? So he says Balak hated the Jews because he felt that they posed a threat to him. So could he have done it differently? Could he have not done it differently? Fine. But Bilam was willing for some extra cash to destroy a whole nation. What does he care if the Jews exist or don't exist? Teretz is that his whole cheshbon was that he wanted money. So he says, Zazash chasa in Midos, that you could give up and destroy a whole nation for some money, means you're so, first of all, selfish. Second of all, so obsessed with money that you don't care to destroy a whole nation to get a couple bucks. So he says, "What the reason why Bilam has no chelik lo ma'abah is because his midos are almost unhuman. They're so bad that this person is lost in his tikkun. So it's not even the avera; it's the midah." He says, "Achitoyfel." He says, "What was the problem?" He says, that doyeg amrushaya roisha sanhedrin, and he was upset because a few pshatim, but he was upset because David HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, he gave advice to Shaul to destroy Ir Noiv, Ir HaKohanim. So same thing, because you're jealous, you destroy a whole city. What type of hashchasa in Midos that is, right? So it's unbelievable, right? The extent of the Midos. He even brings over here that, and same thing that, yeah. And then at the end, he brings also the story from Yeravam ben Nevat. He says, by Yeravam ben Nevat, he was a god of Batorah. V'amru alav sh'terosay shel Yeravam lo'ahaya ba'shum doifi. The Torah of Yeravam was perfect. He had chidushim even David HaMelech himself never heard of before. The entire generation was like nothing. He was unbelievable level. And yet, bam, he has no Olam Haba. And the child is why? So you'll tell me why? I'll tell you why, very simply why. Because he did have a Dezara, and he brought the entire nation down with him. Yeravam ben Nevat created a base of Avodah Zarah as an alternative to the base of Mikdash. I mean, you don't get worse than that. So he says a pshat, and I've seen this pshat, I've said it over, b'shem, I think it was Rebbe Ber Vachzweigel, Gevaldik pshat. There's a medrash. The medrash says, the tofsoi how Kadosh Baruch Hu bebigdoi, Kadosh Baruch Hu grabbed Yeravam, and he asked Yeravam, he said, Yeravam, please, I beg you, please do tshuva. And if you do, ani va'atav v'ben Yishai netayel barosh, netayel b'Gan Eden, you and I and David will all walk together in Gan Eden. Just do tshuva. To which he responds, one of the most amazing responses in history. So he says, well, who's going to go first, me or David? So he says, David says, in that case, I'm not coming. It's unbelievable. What was going on? Hashem gives him the opportunity to do tshuva.
We don't hear you, Rabbi.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now we hear you, yes.
Okay. So he says, I'm giving you opportunity to do tshuva, but no, who's going to go first? David is going first. In that case, I don't want it. What's going on? It's unbelievable. So I heard pshat is like this. That when a person comes and does tshuva, you have to do tshuva not about just the avera you did. You have to do tshuva about the midah that brought you to the avera. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers Yeravam to do tshuva, he's offering you tshuva on the avodah zarah. But let's think about it for a moment. What was the midah behind Yeravam's avera? What was really pushing him? What really pushed Yeravam is not the Avodah Zarah. He didn't care about the Avodah Zarah. What pushed Yeravam was the Kavod. Yeravam wanted to be it. He wanted to be in charge. So he says, well, I can't be in charge because the temple is under control of David HaMelech. So for me to get the attention of the people and to get the Kavod that I'm it, I got to build a temple here. Now the people come here. Now I'm the king where the temple is. Wow. So Lasid Lava, Kadosh Baruch Hu offers him to do tshuva. And he says, you could do tshuva. But then he says, who's going first? So he says, David. He says, I don't want to come. Meaning to say, Hashem saw from that response, you didn't get rid of the problem, man. You didn't get rid of the problem. The problem was not the Avodah Zarah anyway. The problem was the COVID. And you still have that problem. You still want to be before David HaMelech. So if you didn't work on the problem, I'm not going to offer you tshuva anymore. I'm only going to offer you tshuva if you get down to the shayrish of the problem. What's the root cause of what your problem is? And since the root cause is your midah, you got to get rid of that midah. So even though there's no quote unquote mitzvah of midahs, but at the root of everything is midahs. And the only way a person can really properly do tshuva is if he attacks the midah that's pushing him to do the problem. So for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say someone has a problem that they can't wake up on time for davening. They can't wake up on time for davening. So they're struggling with this thing. So he comes Elul, it comes time for Hashana. That's it, this year, I'm gonna come on time for davening. So he buys extra alarm clocks and he's all loaded up. He's got his this alarm, that alarm, and you know, okay, you wake me up. So he thinks that he's solving the problem. What's really the problem? The problem is not the waking up. The problem is he has no problem waking up when he has an appointment. He's no problem waking up when he has to catch a flight. What's the problem? The problem is he doesn't take davening seriously. The problem wasn't the waking up to begin with. So he's sitting there trying to figure out how to wake up. He's focusing on the wrong thing. What you got to focus on taking davening seriously. If you take davening seriously, you'll get up early and take it and come on time, right? So the midah is the real test of where the person's holding. And the midah is what pushes the person one way or the other. And it's not enough to do tshuva and attack the symptom. Right? If you have a headache and you keep on taking Tylenol and then you realize it's not the headache. The headache is just a symptom. What really the problem is? There's a bigger problem. So the midah is what you got to attack. And that's what he's bringing out over here from the story of Yeravam. That Yeravam shows us that, look, you're doing tshuva and everything, but mi barosh, I still want to be ahead of David. You still want to be ahead of David. So you didn't solve the problem. He didn't solve the problem. So, you know, that's the lesson of the midos that he's talking about. All right? We'll pick it up tomorrow, Mr. Shem.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach.
Good night.
Good night.